Father to joy. Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned. That's how I come alive. That's how I change my world.
Deserve all the glory, Lord. Jesus, deserve all the glory. All the glory, Yahweh,
Yahweh, Yahweh.
You deserve the glory,
Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh.
All the glory,
Yahweh,
Yahweh,
Yahweh, Yahweh.
You deserve the glory,
Yahweh.
As the custom is, we want to go into our anchor scriptures. We want to read the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 to 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 to 22. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Let's move into our second reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Verse 20. For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our last reading, we are all going to read together. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Church, together, let's go. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. Today, I'm going to preach one of the shortest messages I'll ever preach as the continuation of the part 2 of sexual sin. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to be very attentive and follow me, because what I'm about to talk about today is the weightier part of all the things we have done concerning sexual sin. Now, last week, we established the opinion or the purpose to which God created sexual intercourse. We found out that sexual intercourse was God's idea to establish what we call the bond of what? One flesh. And that bond is meant to unite two lives into one shared life. And that shared life will be connected to one exclusive loyalty, shared authority, shared responsibility, and then shared what? Destiny. So anytime sex is initiated, a bond called the bond of flesh is established. And when that bond is established, it puts responsibility on the two people who are now joined together by that instrument to have one shared life, to be held to the account of exclusive what? Loyalty, to have one shared destiny, one shared authority and responsibility. Now, because a bond is a binding agreement that is enforceable, anytime you enter into sexual intercourse as a bond, what is supposed to be, there should be an enforcer. And we found out that God only enforces a sexual bond, what it creates, in the confines of what? Marriage. But when it is outside marriage, he is not responsible for it. And if God is not the one responsible for enforcing that bond you have entered into, the question is, who then becomes the enforcer? We found out that there is never a vacuum in the realms of the spirit. Is that not so? So at a given instant, there is a spirit there to what? Supervise. So therefore, spirits takes interest in supervising that sex to make sure they are the enforcers of what? The agreement thereof. And therefore, for any party who breaks that agreement in which they have entered into, that party will be held accountable under the consequences of what they have done by that spirit. And I established that the devil knows how useful this bond is. Therefore, he has been exploiting it on two strong points. Number one, to frustrate God's agenda concerning an individual life or concerning a generation. So we saw that from Genesis chapter 3, when the judgment was passed between Lucifer and the woman, from that very instant, one of the things that the devil has sought to is to use sexual sin to corrupt every seed or anything that will give God that legal authority to fight him. But you know, he can never defeat God, but we the individuals can be victims of what? His pursuit. So we have to be very on ourselves. And the second is that spirits are very legalistic. That is, they know that every operation that can give them the right to do so must have a legal backing. Therefore, for the devil to execute his agenda in John chapter 10, verse 10, he must have a legal cause to do that. And one of the fastest and the best way to do so is to introduce sexual sin. Says that when you commit sexual sin, which is now a legal engagement you have done as the enforcer, and you being the breaker of the covenant, he has the right to now steal what he's supposed to steal as a consequences of your act. Steal kills what he can kill as the consequences of the act you have committed, and then destroy what he can destroy as the consequences of the act you have what committed. Are we all on the same page? Now, today I want to look at the beyond what the devil intends to achieve. What is the weightier implication on us as a believer? And therefore, I want to start with you that sexual sin should not be a concern to the believer on the secluded basis of what the devil intends to achieve or get from you on the basis of John chapter 10, verse 10. However, we should also see that our concern of sexual sin has to do with the impact on our destiny ordination. You see, John chapter 10, verse 10 was meant to be enforced within the time realm. Time, you understand? You see, the devil's John chapter 10, verse 10, the mission is supposed to be done within the time realm, from the womb to the tomb. But you should know that beyond the womb to the tomb, there is something else he wants to rob from you. That is your destiny ordination. What God has destined you to do, sexual sin can play so much impact on it that you will live in a perpetuity of what? Regret as a Christian, a believer. The Bible said, when we get to heaven, there will be a group of people who will be in what? Gnashing and weeping and regret as a result of them not being able to live to the required destiny God has given them. And the devil knows that one of the ways to execute that is through sexual sin. So today I want to explore that part. That if for no reason, if you are denying the devil access to your life because of John 10:10, that should not be the enough reason as a believer. You should know that your destiny, that God has ordained for you, ordination, is also at stake. Now let's look at this and examine some few things about destiny. Wow. The first thing we can examine about the concept of destiny and how it is connected to what we want to talk about today is that destiny is something that is predetermined by the counsel of God. Therefore, one truth of life is that every man is born within the predetermined counsel of God to arrive at a particular destination. Let's read the book of Acts chapter 15 verse 18 to buttress that point. It is never true that anybody is born accidental. It's never true. Everybody is born within the predetermined counsel of God to arrive at a particular destination. And in the book of Acts chapter 15 verse 18, this was said, known to God from eternity. Listen to what he said. Known to God from what? Eternity are all his works. Do you get it? So known to God. So God has a full knowledge of everything concerning him, his works. God is not at the blind side of anything that happens. He knows. He predetermined it. Are we on the same page? Good. Therefore, destination, and the destination that God wants all of us to arrive is the destination of conforming to the image of his son. Romans chapter 8 verse 29, you can write it down. That we are predestined to conform to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. So that is the actual realization of everybody's destiny. Whatever you do on this earth, at the end of the day, it should conform to the full image or conform to the image of Jesus Christ. Nothing more, nothing less. Are we there? Hence, no human life is accidental. Every man is born with God's eternal counsel, not outside his eternal counsel. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, we know that popular scripture. Said, before you became a blood clot in the womb of your mom, I knew you. And before you were out, conceived, I have already ordained you as a prophet. So, destiny ordination that I'm talking about, that sexual sin can impact, the first thing we need to know about is that it's already God's predetermined counsel. It is why God wants you to arrive. The devil knows that. He has the full idea that this is what God determines, or where God, what God wants you to become is to conform to the image of the son. The devil will not know the details of the destiny ordination, but he knows that as long as this man is born, whatever he is doing, according to the plans and purposes of God, it should reveal the image of Christ. Are we on the same page? Now, let's move on. Now, that though destiny is preordained, it is not automatically fulfilled. That is the danger about it. You see, it is preordained by God, but it is not automatically fulfilled. That is why the devil can have an access to release certain things to frustrate it. Although it's preordained, it requires the obedience and alignment of man to get it what? Fulfilled. So destiny is preordained, but it is not automatically what? Fulfilled. So the fact that you are born a rich man doesn't mean you become a rich man. It is not done anywhere like that. That is why Daddy Joe that time says that when we go to heaven, most of us will be surprised. When we get there, God will begin to take us on a tour and show us the things that we're supposed to have on earth here, the things we should have achieved. And then we ask God, how didn't I get it? You can't blame God for that. Because the work is supposed to be the predetermined counsel of God and then alignment of what? Man. Amen. Therefore, because destiny is not automatically fulfilled, the first thing about the concern of destiny is that destiny begins when a person reconnects to God through Christ. And this is the true definition of the concept of new creation. Now follow me. You see, when we are born naturally into this earth, it is the predetermined counsel of God. But to fulfill destiny, it requires that what? We align to the purposes of God. Therefore, for us to begin the journey of destiny, the first and the most important thing is that we become what? Born again, reconnected to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, sorry, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. So, the whole definition of destiny ordained is captured in the concept new creation. Listen. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. Means that destiny has been what? Discovered. All things have what? Passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. So, the preordained destiny of God is discovered or begins when we become new creation. Nobody discovers destiny out of that. Now, let me give you a scripture to confirm that. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, our last scripture that we read. Now, listen to how the Passion Translation gives it. We have become his poetry as recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. The Passion Translation. When we said the workmanship ordained, he said that we are the poetry recreated that we will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. This means that when somebody is not born again, there is no way the person has discovered their destiny. Whatever you are doing your own thing. It is like you have not activated. How many of you have ordered a boat before? Can we use that as an example? No, when your boat rider comes and he moves the car and he doesn't start it, at that instant, there is nothing like God. What you have ordered has started. I hope you get my point. The boat app will pick that you have started your journey when the driver activates it. But although you ordered, I don't know if you are following, you ordered the ride that, I want you to take me from here to here. That is the predetermining counsel of you, right? But for the app to make sure that, your predetermining counsel has been fulfilled, there's a role of a human to be activated. So sometimes when they come there and they see that the fare is huge and shall be beneficial to them, they tend to negotiate with you, can we go offline? That offline you are going, if we are taking it here in scriptures, means that you are doing a different thing outside God wants you to do. And you still reach wherever you are going to, right? But God does not know you that you have gotten there. Just like the boat app doesn't know you have gotten there. Are we on the same page? So don't be deceived that you can do anything and think that you are living the purposes of God, you are fulfilling destiny. Destiny is only discovered when a man or a woman connects to Christ. Do you get the picture now? Now let me move on. He said, for we are joined to Christ, the anointed one, even before we were born. Using it? That is the predetermined counsel. God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would what, do to what? Fulfill it. So although God planned it, join us to Christ, it is only discovered and set into motion when we become born again. So in the first point, if you are not born again, the devil is already having access to what God wants to do with your life. But that is not the main key. I'm just laying the foundation to how destiny ordination is influenced by our sexual sin. Can we move on? So you find out that even in the Old Testament, the old folks in the Old Testament, they needed to connect to Christ to be able to fulfill destiny for God. So in types and shadows, you see that people, God connected them to what? To Christ. Let's look at two examples and move on. Abraham and then Melchizedek. Have you heard of the story of Abraham and Melchizedek? Said that he paid tithe to him and he blessed him. It was important that they had that encounter with Christ. Let's look at the people of Israel. You know that they ate manna, right? The Bible said the manna was the flesh of Christ, right? They drank from the rock. That was what? The blood. That was the giving to them. So you see that there are a lot of things in the Old Testament that represent Christ. Do you remember the tabernacle? The tabernacle is the perfect representation of Christ in their midst. So anytime the tabernacle was in their midst, they said the shout of the king was what? In their midst. That means that Christ was, the destiny was in course. When anytime the ark is not there, whenever they lose that whole thing, you see that they are disconnected from God. Are we on the same page? So even in the Old Testament, the old folks were not able to live to fulfilling their destiny without not connecting to Christ in shadows and in types and in forms. Are you following me? So that is how destiny is defined. Now, fulfilling destiny ordination is predetermined, okay? But we have to what? Walk in obedience in what? Fulfilling it. In our journey to fulfill destiny ordination, this is where the devil has his place and then try to what? Get hold of things. Now, in fulfilling destiny ordination, one thing that is very crucial for us to know is that a model has been set in place for us to what? To follow in fulfilling destiny ordination. And that is one reason why Jesus willingly laid his life and gave away his divine privilege and took on the full nature of man was to model how man fulfills God's given destiny. You know, in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, the Bible says, even though he was equal with God, he thought it not robbery to what? To be equal with God by what? He let go of his what? His God divine nature and put on the whole nature of man. And he became what? Man. Beyond dying or being our kinsman to die for us, one of the main reasons why Jesus did that is because he has to model how man can live to fulfill the destiny ordination God has given a man. Are you on the same page? Now, how is that done? It is done on four models. Number one, the first model is that for a man to what? Fulfill the destiny ordination of God, he must be conceived by the Holy Spirit. Conceived and born by the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 1 verse 35, the Bible said Jesus was conceived. Let's read that scripture. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of God of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of what? God. Are you following me? The first model in destiny ordination that you have to be conceived and born by the Holy Spirit. Jesus. Well, the second one is to be led by the Spirit. Luke chapter 4 verse 1. The Bible says Jesus was led by the Spirit into what? The wilderness. To be tempted by what? The devil. Remember that scripture? Yeah. Then Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into what? The wilderness. The third one is empowered by the Spirit. Luke chapter 4 verse 14. Luke chapter 4 verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out to all the surrounding what? Region. The last model is he offered himself through the Holy Spirit. Offered himself through what? The Holy Spirit. I want you to follow why I'm saying this. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead, works to serve the living God. Now you see that the four models that Jesus gave us in fulfilling destiny are all connected to one thing. Who? The Holy Spirit. Are you there? Are we there? Now, what is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the life of a man? The manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the life of a man is called the anointing, right? The presence and the what? The power. Therefore, anybody who intends to live and fulfill destiny cannot do so without what? The Holy Spirit. Are we there? In that essence, every believer, you look into scriptures, you see that every believer is born of the Spirit. So we are born of the Spirit. Number two, every believer is led by the Spirit to stay in the path of destiny. This scripture always hit me so strong. Psalms chapter 37 verse 23 said the steps of a good man are ordered by whom? By God. The steps of a good man. Psalms chapter 37 verse 23. That is the scripture. In Romans chapter 8 verse 14, the Bible said that as many that are led by the Spirit are what? The sons of God. Now let's look at where I want to draw my own. Said the other one is that empowered by the Spirit. See, every believer needs God's ability to do things that comes along on the destiny path. This ability given by the Holy Spirit is what Jesus called the anointing. So remember the four models that Jesus gave us to show how destiny is fulfilled. Number one, conceived and born by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, empowered by what? The Spirit. Now the empowerment aspect is very crucial because that is what the devil targets. You know that when you are born again, your spirit, the salvation of your spirit, the devil cannot do anything about it. Do you know that? The devil cannot do anything about it. Your personal walk with God does not matter so much to him like that. He becomes very furious when that personal walk with God begins to yield fruit. That is begin to impact others' life and cause a change. And that is where the empowerment comes from. Are we on the same page? Are you following me? The whole thing I want to establish today is that there's a destiny ordination for all of us to fulfill. And one way the devil wants to make sure you don't fulfill it is to explore it through sexual art, sin. And you find out that that way of exploring it is at this place of where the power is required. Are you on the same page? Can we move on? Good. Luke chapter 4 verse 18. Let's read that scripture. Every believer needs God's ability to do things. And it comes along the destiny part of you. What is it? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has what? Anointed me. To what? Preach. So you see, he started doing things. Is that not so? Are you on the same page? So the empowerment aspect has to do with what? Doing things. Now let's look at how it works. How this empowerment begins to what? Reveal in the life of the believer. Number one, the new creation life is which the kingdom life is built upon. And that life requires power because the kingdom life is to be demonstrated, not to be debated. You see, if people will see the kingdom life, it's not about what you say. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 20, for it said the kingdom of God is not by what? By words, by what? Power. That whole scripture is talking about demonstration. If the kingdom life is a life of wholeness, you don't debate it on paper. It's a life of health, sickness free. We don't debate that on paper. I follow. It's not theoretical. It must be realistic. And that's where the empowerment what comes from. So anybody who is in attempt of living their destiny life must be able to what define the empowerment aspect of their destiny life through the experiences or demonstration of the kingdom life. Are you all following me? So you need power. You know you can fall sick. Okay. It seems like I'm giving too much theory. So let me give some practicals. Now, if somebody comes to tell you, I'll kill you. You have not received that threat before. Okay? Or somebody decides to poison a food for you. What will be a proof that you're a child of God? You don't say that in the name of Jesus. You have heard that one. They've heard it. The proof that you are living a life that cannot be touchable is that at that instant the person makes that declaration, the person begins to go down. Are you following me? That kind of manifestation comes because the power of God has come upon you, anointed. Are you following me now? Somebody will eat that food that has been poisoned and will die. You will eat it and nothing happens to you because that life, that's why I said it's a demonstration, the life in you. Do you remember the story of Paul, that a viper beat him and the people sat down quietly and were waiting to see him to die? You see, there are certain things that happen to you that people know that, oh, Agbena, he's gone. We are done with him. Are you following me? You know, that those things that, when, especially when you're in school, that when the headmaster or in-house master calls you, everybody knows that it's over for you. Everyone knows that it's over for you. We are just waiting for you to come and pack your things, and then we can escort you out of the school. There are those times in your life that certain things can happen to you. At that point, you don't say that I'm a child of God by debate. It must happen by manifestation. When Paul and Silas, the Spirit said that these are the true men, you should follow them, the people believed it more when what happened in the prison came into light. Are you following me? So they didn't demonstrate that kingdom life by only saying things, but when they saw the manifestation of God's power, where the prison doors were open, the foundation shook, and the chains of all prisoners were broken, they go, what shall I do to have life? You see, if we want to show that we are living the kingdom life, people must come to us and say that we are the source of life, asking us, how must I do? And that one comes from the model of the empowerment side. So when we are empowered, the flow of the power of God in our life makes the kingdom demonstrative, not debative. So a Christian who can only prove that he's a child of God only by words does not even understand what he's saying in the first place. Can I give an example? When you and the unbeliever, you all have to suffer the same thing, go through the same thing. There is no anything that separates you from him, but you still claim you are a child of God. You are trying to say that you are not the kingdom life, the power has not come out. I don't get my point. See, there must always be something that will happen that will ask you, why are you? Are you with me? Number two, another way the empowerment model works is this. let me make this sound statement. It's very dangerous, but I have to make it. Before I move to the second point, any Christian living, write it down, that denies the manifestation of God's power is a life of apostasy in disguise. Let me give you a scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5. When we come born again as Christians, living our destiny life, one of the natural causes that has to happen to us is that power must manifest in our life. Do you understand? If you have the form of godliness, which is you are born again, you have discovered you are a new creation, you have the form, but you deny the power of what you are doing, is that you are already living a life of apostasy in disguise. You are an apostate. Having a form of godliness, do you understand that? New creation. But what is it? Deny what? The power. But deny its what? Power. Say, and from such people what? Turn away. So, you know, the believer can just enter apostasy without not knowing. That is having a form of godliness, but they can't see any sign of power of it. And I tell you, things that can make us have the form of godliness and having no power to show forth, one is the sexual sin. Are you following me? So the devil is not only interested in making sure that he kills and destroys. No, he's also interested in how he can fight your destiny ordination. That is conforming to the image of Christ. So when Christ came, he didn't talk much. People knew the kingdom. Said, if by my finger I am able to cast out demons, then the kingdom has what? Come unto you. So he didn't say that if I'm able to preach. Jesus never claimed the manifestation of the kingdom life by preaching. He said, by my finger, if you see these things happening, it means that the kingdom has what? Come to you. So please, we have to be very careful that as believers, it is required by the model of our destiny ordination that naturally power must flow. It should be in our nature that power will flow all the time. Thank you. So if we are in this state that, we claim we are Christians and headache, we can't even pray for headache to go. There's no sign or revelation of power in any of our life. We are in apostasy in disguise. Number two, the power model is also therefore is meant for us to what? Live a life of dominion. Now, one of the revelation of the conformation into the image of God or the image of the Son is a dominion life. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. Therefore, let us make man in our heart image and what likeness, and what will become of them? They will have what? Dominion. So one of the evidence of the power, empowerment of God working in your life is that we see dominion. We see dominion having effect. Are we on the same page? Are we on the same page? Now, what produces dominion? Luke chapter 10, verse 19. What produces dominion? Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I give you authority, what? To trample over what? Serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of what? The enemy. And nothing shall by any means what? Hurt you. So dominion is outsourced from power. So that it is the empowerment model from the destiny ordination structure that makes us live a life of dominion. And that is a reflection of the image of the Son of God. Is this too elective for you? I want you to know, because the way you are looking, is it too elective for you? Are you following what I'm trying to say? Oh, good. Now, power enables the believer to rule and exercise dominion in fulfilling number one, the Great Commission. If anybody is living a life of dominion, fulfilling dominion life, the first thing you see is that the person begins to yield to the Great Commission. Now, do you know that the Great Commission is never complete if there's no demonstration of power? Why do we pray for the sick? Oh, let's read the scripture. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 16. Many times people don't know that the Great Commission, which has to do with preaching and teaching, is not complete when there's no demonstration of power. What did he say in Mark chapter 16, verse 15? And he said to them, go into the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every what? Creature. Verse 16, what did he say? He who believes and is baptized will be what? Saved, but he who does not believe will not be, what? Be condemned. Continue on. The next one. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they shall out. They will cast out demons. Not they shall, they will. They will speak with new tongues. Continue. They will take out serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Great Commission can never be complete without the demonstration of power. A sign of dominion is this. When you pray for somebody to heal, it means that you are walking in dominion. When somebody targets your life and works something out to eliminate you and doesn't work, you are walking in dominion. And it is that model, part of our destiny ordination. Now, you know, in our destiny ordination, the Great Commission is part of it. Are you with me? Number two, prevailing in spiritual warfare. One sign of a believer walking in dominion is that the believer prevails in spiritual warfare. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Give me the verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not what? Oh, help me. Are not, but mighty in God for pulling down what? So the life of dominion is that when you come after a believer, when there's a warfare, the believer does not use your carnal weapons to what? Deliver. One example of carnal weapons is this. Imagine somebody comes to contend over you for a legal land that belongs to you. You can decide to drag the matter with a person in court for 15 years. That is the carnal weapon. Is that also? Somebody also decide. Those who are from the other side will decide to settle the matter at a different place. And that one, they can settle it in 1 week. You see? Never ever think that you can, like this life, you always play by the rules of the books. It doesn't work. You see, you must always know that this, you have to have some kind of weapons that are not visible in the sight of men. Somebody told Archbishop Benson Daosa that as long as I am working at this TV station, your message will never be heard. And he also looked at her and told her that in 24 hours you'll be transferred. He thought it was a joke. That very day, mystery happened, that the top people came in, change of leadership. They decided to do some kind of auditing work, and they found her out wanting. And instantly, at that instant, she was ordered to step aside. And then they brought somebody who was a Christian, who revered him to her position. As you could have, you would have tried to use other ways, carnal weapons to fight her. Did he fight? He said, "Oh, you don't worry." But he said, "You don't hear my message. 24 hours. That is dominion." If people do not fear you because they can see some invisible hands behind you, you have to start thinking about your life. You are working business, and then somebody will come there and then come and threaten you that this is your business. I'll do everything possible. We don't care. But the Bible says, "For the wicked shall perish in his own wickedness." The light that is coming out of me alone is to crush you. So the believer is able to prevail in warfare against all forms of warfare because he or she has the empowerment of God reflecting in his dominion life. The next one, bring glory to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ publicly. A person who is walking in dominion will see that their public life brings glory to God. The things they'll do, we call it signs and wonders. Have you heard of signs and wonders? Acts chapter 2, verse 4, we pray. Another thing that shows a life of dominion is your ability to preserve the integrity of the gospel. The difference between the Bible or the gospel and any other doctrine is that it is not only subjected to what? Motivation, psychology, and moral advice. Any other spiritual book, this is what they do. It's either it's a matter of psychology, moral advice, or what? Motivation. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, listen to what Paul said about the gospel. It is the power of God that keeps it alive. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in what? Demonstration of what? The spirit and of what? Of power. So we need the empowerment of God to be able to preserve the integrity of the gospel so that it will not become a motivation. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the relevance of the power in fulfilling our destiny ordination is non-negotiable, such that Jesus has to command the disciple and refuse to release them into fulfilling their destiny until they receive it. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Our destiny ordination and empowerment is non-negotiable, that Jesus said, "You are not going to be my witness until power comes on you." Are you with me? So if the devil knows that the secret to every destiny ordination is the power of God coming upon you, what do you think he will do? If that power will give you dominion to the extent that you can be able to stop him in all forms, resist the devil and to flee, it is power. It is power. If you don't have power, can you resist? You can cast out demons, take over a territory, rule over a place. If all these things are going to happen, it means that there's power. The devil knows that power is a requisite item in your destiny ordination. And Jesus himself even stopped the disciples from doing anything. He said, "Wait until." It's a command. He didn't advise them. It's a command. He said, "You people, nobody should move. Nobody should preach the gospel. Nobody should do anything. Wait until what? Power." So the whole question is that if the devil knows that power is what even stopped the disciples from even stepping out until he came upon them, what do you think he's going to do about it? He'll do everything to make sure that he works something around it to frustrate your destiny. Therefore, this is what happens. When a man is not born again, All that the devil is interested in the life is that he gets legal access through sexual sin to steal, to kill and destroy. So anybody who is not born again, when they are involved in sexual sin, all that the devil is interested in is legal grounds to steal, to kill and destroy. But the moment you become born again, it goes beyond just stealing, killing and destroying. Amen. When you become born again, John 10:10 is not enough for him. He also makes sure that through sexual sin, an individual fails in destiny pursuit. And this is one of the things that our Father and the Lord called the tragedy of unfinished business. And I don't know if you've ever listened to that message before. The tragedy of unfinished business. The devil knows that it is not enough to steal, kill, and destroy. He needs more. That is to make sure that your destiny ordination, because you have discovered it, he will do everything possible to stop you from fulfilling it. So that when you even make it to heaven, you will not be happy in heaven. You see, if he cannot stop you from going to heaven, at least he can take away from you the happiness in heaven. And I want to make it clear to you that there is a place in heaven called the place of gnashing of teeth and weeping. It's the place of regret. A place where people who are victims of unfinished business will be. No crown, no reward. Imagine living your life for the rest of eternity, regretting, weeping. So the devil, if he cannot stop you from going to heaven, at least he will attempt to give you the story of what? Unfinished business. Cut short your destiny. How does he explore that? One of the ways to achieve that, in fact, one of the strongest way he achieves this tragedy of unfinished business, is the desecration of the body of the believer through sexual sin. I've taken you through a very serious journey today to let you know that your destiny is already predetermined by God, but the fulfillment lies in your alignment with God, your obedience to God. So it's not automatically fulfilled. If you make the effort to be born again, you have discovered your destiny. And we saw that in the model that Jesus presented to us: born of the Spirit, led by the Spirit, empowered by what? The Spirit. Offered himself out to what? By the what? The Spirit. Now, as I said, the devil cannot stop your heart born again. When you are born again, you can't do anything about it. When you are born of the Spirit, you can't do anything about it. You can't go there. Your leadings of the Holy Spirit does not really affect him. He doesn't care. Because it's something personal working in your character more. And do you know that there are morals? Let me put it this way. There are demons or people who even subscribe to some moral lives. Are you with me? They don't support stealing. Why is it that when they curse, it works? Are you following me? So that workings of the Holy Spirit to bring the character of God in you through the leadings of the Holy Spirit. But the moment you begin to bear fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of what? Your works. You get the attention of the devil. And he knows that the bearing of the fruit cannot be done without power. As Jesus instructed and commanded his people not to what? Move until power comes upon them. And I've given you certain areas to which that empowerment can be sieved through. Dominion, I've mentioned that one. Are you following me? Giving you how those dominion things is done. So if he has to cut off power to make sure that you don't bear fruit, he will do so. And how does he do it? Desecration of your body. So anytime the believer is caught up in sexual sin, what the believer is doing, that he is desecrating the body. And when there is desecration, what happens is that power cannot flow. And when power cannot flow, the devil has succeeded. Now let's look into desecration. This kind of breath is a serious breathing. Hallelujah. Desecration biblically means using what is holy for a common or forbidden purpose. One of these days, we are having a conversation at church here when Elder Prince raised that, why does the devil want to make sex a common thing? Are you following me? And today I'm answering that question here. The reason why the devil wants to make sex common to the point that the believers who treat this as a common thing is to what, help you to desecrate your body. And when we say desecration, it does not necessarily mean that it is dirty. In Bible terms, desecration simply means using what is sacred, declare what? Sacred for what? A common or forbidden what? Purpose. Leviticus chapter 22 verse what? 32. So now let me give you an example. If we have dedicated this water, are you following me? To God. And this water is dedicated only to be poured on this pulpit. If somebody is thirsty and the person is even dying, and you give the water to the person to drink, that is desecration. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say over here. Is that the purpose for which it was? Yeah. You shall not profane my name. He said it's profanity. But I would be hallowed. That is what? Sacred. Among the children of Israel. I am the Lord. I am the Lord who what? Sanctifies what? You. Now, how does this desecration through sexual sins, how does it work? Desecration through sexual sin occurs when God ordained covenant power is exercised without God's given covenant authority. The power still functions, but it functions unlawfully. And I'm going to show how it works. What am I trying to say? When you are born again, the Spirit of God is in you. That's the power of God, right? Are you following me? The gift of the Spirit is inside you. Now, if you get yourself involved in anything that is not authorized by God, and you are involved in that thing, and you still engage the power of God, that is desecration. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. Have you heard about that? He said, in my name, you cast out demons. In my name, you were able to do this and that. And said, get thee behind, I didn't know you. They didn't use any, it was still the name of Jesus. It answered. But there was a problem there. Now let's look how it works. This is how it works. Desecration happens when the flow of anointing is affected by relationship or alignment or consecration. I'm going to explain these three things, then we'll close. Hallelujah. Desecration happens when the flow of anointing is affected by relationship, affected by alignment, and affected by what? Consecration. Anytime the devil deploys sexual sin to cut off the power of God or corrupt the power of God and make a person lose the anointing, he will do so through frustrating relationship. Frustrating what? Alignment and consecration. Now let's take the aspect of relationship. Oh Jesus. Can we go back to our second reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19. Our body become temple for fellowship exclusively to God, and that is what establishes relationship. Listen to what the Bible said. Do you not know that your body is the temple of what? The Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not what? Your own. Move on. Verse 20. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are of God's. Now, in the book of John, Jesus said that those who do my commandments, my Father and I will come and what? Live in them, and they also what? Live in what? In me. And then we shall fellowship with the person. So the body he was talking about was not your spirit. He's talking about this, your human body. It is this human body that houses the Holy Spirit, including your spirit over there. Now, if this body, something happens to this body, the impact does not only remain on the body. It also goes a long way to affect that of the spirit there. Are you following me? Now, let's look at how it works. Your body belongs to God. However, sex joined bodies into one flesh. So if I have given myself, okay, to God, I'm a Christian, born again, serious Christian, then I have sex with somebody I'm not married to, I've introduced another partner into the temple. Are you following me? Are you following all that's going on? Another partner has been introduced to the temple, because now it becomes shared life. Good. Now, this partner I've introduced into the temple, this partner will only be accepted by the one who is already living in that temple when he is through the legal means, which is called marriage. So therefore, marriage is the legal and covenantal covering that makes that union holy. Are we on the same page? Do you understand now? So now, if I reunite myself with another person through sex, we came one, means that now the two of us belong to God. We have come one temple. Do you understand? That one becomes legal and is covenantal and is covered on the basis of marriage. Now, if that is not done on marriage, what happens? Watch. Therefore, unlawful sexual union brings another person illegally into God's temple. So this is what happens. When you have sex outside marriage, on the basis of relationship, you have invited another person and another spirit to come and then supervise the two of you. You have created a competition for God. The reason why, even though a believer can be born again, speaking in tongues, and still be suffering certain serious matters, one of them is sexual sin. There's a legal reason the devil can access that body. Let me make it simple for you. Even though you are born again, you are a serious Christian, if you sleep with somebody who's having HIV/AIDS, you fornicate with that person, you will catch HIV/AIDS. No matter how anointed you are, is that God's fault? So now, you have brought somebody into the temple that somebody has purchased. Do you understand? You have given out that place illegally to the person. What do you think will happen? Now, let me make it in a simple way. I'm your landlord, okay? You have come to rent a house from me. You have fully paid for the place. Like the life of Accra people, they'll sell a land to you. You have the full control. The indenture and everything is done. You go to Lands Commission and you find out that they are not the only owner of the land. What happens to that land? I want to show. I'm leading you. What happens to that land? Contention, right? Nothing can be done on that land. So the devil is not only interested in stopping you. He just creates contention that he and God will drag the matter. As long as we are dragging the matter, nobody can use it. I don't know if you understand what I'm painting here. So when you have sex outside marriage, you have given another third party. And you see, it's not only about the physical person you're talking about, though. We are talking about the spirit that comes to enforce what you have done. Do you understand? The covenant you have done outside marriage. That spirit now will now come to God and say, now God, these people did this under my supervision, so I also have a part in their life. And God will also say that, no, I bought him with my heart, my blood. He's my temple. And he said, no, God, this is the matter. Then now we drag the issue. Unless you go to court and resolve that matter by resolving spiritual conflict, I tell you, God will not, nothing will be done with your life. Because there's, I'll give you a typical picture here. Accra land. Or is it, I think Kumasi too, they do that, or it's only in Accra. It's Accra. Eh? If you want to buy land in Accra, the first thing to do is go to Lands Commission, right? To be very sure if that land has no owner. Because one land can have like five owners. So that's how some people will come there. We have one of the Nogokpo contending for your legally, because you had an encounter with one of the daughters. And let me tell you this thing. When you are born again, does not mean that you are naturally disconnected from your background. But you all know that. Do you all know that? You must renounce, take a stand, because your forefathers signed you up legally to that altar. So if you fornicate, you have entered to renew that contract over there. So instantly, Nogokpo will call the headquarters and say, hey, boss, this is also my client. Then you move to Antoine, one of the Antoine's daughters, and go and sign another deal with him. Now, so by the time you have a body count of 15 demons contending over your body with Jesus. The Bible says when a house is clean, when a demon occupies a house and he leaves, he goes and roams and comes back. And if he finds that place is empty, he gains access. One of the ways they do it is what? Introduce you. So you see that when it comes and you use sexual sin to enter, you open up to other demons to also use that door. So you find out that your body count will be 3, 4, 5. You that person, the deliverance you need. The Bible said the condition of the person now will be far worse than before. So it is that relationship that they are contending. He's mine. That contention in the spirit. So which power is going to flow through you now? So you see that the believer's life becomes a struggle. There's no dominion. Nothing happens because there's contention over his destiny. And that is the wisdom of the devil. So one way of the devil stopping you to fulfill your destiny is that he introduced sexual sin to create contention over your destiny. I said resolving spiritual conflict, we should thank God for that book. God bless that DJ, wherever he is. If not, I tell many people are struggling. There are some people, some aspect of their life, nothing can ever happen there because of this contention. But I pray for you. If there's any kind of union and contention in that dimension, may God intervene in the name of Jesus. Let the court of heaven address that matter in the name of Jesus. So the only way we can restore that relationship is to renounce. Go through all the legal processes to cancel every soul tie that has been initiated as a result of this union. Then now we can now be fully belonging to God, for God to have expressed us. So how the desecration happens is to make sure that what is sacred, that house, sacred means that dedicated to God, you use it for the common. The devil is... I don't know if you understand what is going on. You check the life of any Christian who falls into sexual sin, the life becomes a struggle. The whole thing is simple. There's contention. If it's not resolved and the matter is not dealt with, your life will be under contention. You struggle and struggle and struggle. And the day you die, you find out that you live the life of unfinished business because you didn't even start anything at all. You are trying to human across. And I heard the land case went for 42 years. Is that not so? 42 years. Imagine how many people died before that land case was settled. So imagine that 42 years ago, they bought the land for an economic purpose. 42 years of that purpose has been wasted. So the devil can set your life on pause, on hold, for years, and many things will be denying you because of sexual sin. And that's crashing your relationship. And you know the funny thing here? Every unauthorized access to holy things always bring judgment. Oh, Jesus. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 6 to 7. Let's read that scripture. So when they get access to this holy body, and do you know your body is holy? Is the temple is holy? Holy. Good. When they get access to this body, what they do is that in the contention of over your destiny, they open up for judgment. Because you know, the side of God is on two things: mercy and what? Justice. And when they came to the Nikon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to what? the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen what? Stumbled. Verse 7, what happened to Uzzah? God strike him. Sometimes the devil knows that the only way he can get hold of you is to open you up for God himself to deal with him. So when Prophet Balaam failed to curse the people of Israel, he has to teach Balak how this principle works. That if you mess up the relationship between them, God and the people, finish, he'll deal with them. And then Balak asks, how can that be done? So simple. Send your women to their camp and let them sleep with them, and then let them invite them over to come and eat the fruits of your idols. When you are even able to get one person to do so, you have succeeded. It is recorded in the Bible that the slaughter that God did because of that thing has never been done before by any other act of Israel. Check in scriptures. The number of people who died because of this sexual sin is not comparable to any other strikes of God in the Old Testament. Tells you how God can be so provoked when his relationship is messed up. Some of us, we are just suffering under the judgment of God because we broke his heart. And then the due course has to what? Take place. See, the devil knows what he can. When you mess up your relationship with God, that's all. That's all he needs. Be smart. See, be so smart in this. He'll send one of his handsome sons and daughter. They'll come to you. Ah, Jesus. Sometimes when they come, you are confused. You don't know what is even happening to your life. The moment they touch you, see, things will begin to turn around. Not for your good, though. You can see things turning around. This one is not for your good. It's turning around for your worse. Because there's contention over your body. There are other shareholders dealing with God on the matter of what? And then they have opened the door, that judgment, because you have profaned that which is what? Holy. Number two, alignment. How sexual sin makes us unaligned. Power operates within the bounds of authority. Hence, anytime you want to engage power, you have to make sure that you are within every authority to engage it, including moral authority. Have you heard of moral authority? Have you heard of that word before? Moral authority. You see, anything that you are a victim of, you can't have the authority to correct people. One of the problems in this country is that most of our people or authority figures who wants to bring correction are already victims of the things they want to correct us from. They are sleeping with the youngest. They are telling us to not sleep with them. They are stealing the state money. Do you have the moral authority to tell me not to steal it? Eh? How can you be smoking and tell me not to smoke some? It's like those days in SS when you jump the wall and you see your senior also jumping the wall. That senior will not say anything because both of you know what you have done. If he punish you, you know that I'm also going to report him. So both of you jump the wall together. Alignment. So anytime power responds to alignment, there cannot be power without authority. Even demons know this. Do you know why certain spirits do not permit, or certain religion do not permit, that people should be involved in sexual encounter? Have you heard of the monks and all those people? It's because of this alignment. They want to make sure that you have every full authority to be able to let their power run through you. So what happens? Power flows very freely and in complete alignment, which is what? Obedience. Therefore, whenever you fall in sexual sin, do you know sexual sin is as an out of disalignment, moral disalignment? Do you know that? It's against authority. It means that you are rebelling against God's order. Do you know that? Are we on the same page? Are you with me? So whenever you commit sexual sin, you have already fallen from authority. The implication of that authority that you fall from is this: sexual immorality creates loss of spiritual confidence. Nobody, a true Christian, okay, And I don't know if you have noticed that. To some extent, some people cannot even pray again because they are scared. They lose total confidence, spiritual confidence, that they don't even believe that if they say, "Father, forgive me," God will even accept it. Do I have a witness in the house? If they are witnesses, God, do not raise their hand. Someone like, so you have also fornicated before. Yes, the person lose total confidence, spiritual confidence, because there's no alignment. That's what it does to you. So the sexual sin, one thing it does to you is to shift you from alignment to the point that some people cannot even say, "Father, forgive me, for I've sinned." Because you see, it kills everything in you that you don't even believe that God will want to listen to you. You become like what? Adam, where are you? You'll be hiding from God. So some people who don't come to church and have been running from church and running everywhere, if you investigate, it's sexual sin. When he sees pastor's call, then you block pastor. Because of pastor, you have turned off your last sin. You have turned off your how do you call it? Read. So that when pastor send message, whether you have read it or not, you don't know. That is what sexual sin will do to you. And that to save you from alignment. So Adam, where are you? You are hiding, always hiding. I pray, if any of us are hiding from God because of sexual sin, let's come boldly for the throne room of grace. That you see, God wants to help you. He knows what is wrong with you. Sexual sin can be fixed; it's fixable. But don't make it too late, because the longer you hold on and you are run away, the match you are losing. The moment you fall in it, go let God fix you. We are born of infirmity. God knows. The wise one is the one who admits and comes to God. He said, "You receive grace and mercy." The grace is what is going to help you to be able to survive. So if you go and fornicate, call me. I will not beat you. I will not kill you. Call me, pastor. I fornicated. I need help. We will help you. If I cannot help you, I'll refer you to Edabo and Edabless. At least the three of us can help you. And then we'll restore you. So that the devil will not kill your confidence totally. Some people have stopped praying for 2 years because of one sexual sin they committed. And now they are so far from God that they don't even know whether they are Christians. And anytime they hear the messages of sexual purity, they are offended. They are angry. They are pissed. Why are you angry? Hallelujah. So Pastor Cruz, you don't like my message today. Number 2, reduce boldness in prayer. Nothing kills prayer appetite than sexual sin. Because the first thing it does to you, that you don't even believe that the prayer God will hear. If somebody falls into sexual sin, one of the things they avoid is deliverance, as the demons will expose them. So if you call him, "Oh, pray for me," say, "Oh, you call this person." What if your demon manifests and say, "Some demons, they don't have respect to." Because they also have to do something to intimidate you. It's not that the power cannot work through you. They have to shake your confidence. And the moment your confidence is shaking, then they've gained grounds. So if they can be able to track and see anything like that over there and shake you with it, then she said, we are deflated. So your boldness in prayer, you can't pray. If you are praying, you are not bold. That's what the devil does to you. Number 3, hesitation before God. 1 John chapter 3 verse 20. All these things I've been saying, they are all in 1 John chapter 3 verse 20. Let's read. So sexual sin, that's how the power is cut off. Shorten the power. Alignment shifts you. For if our heart condemns us, this is what it has, shift of alignment. God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Whenever sexual sin happens to you, your heart, you see, the police will begin to check you. That makes you even, that's where the whole thing, alignment starts from. I said, whenever you commit sexual sin, Don't wait for more than 5 seconds. Go to God. Let God fix you. Because the devil is, you see, let me tell you one thing about this. Anytime the devil is coming after you with sexual sin, it means that something serious is about to happen in your life. He wants to steal it. Just stall it. Let it be there. It hasn't happened. People's highest breakthroughs are intercepted through sexual sin. If there is contention, it will not come until the matter is resolved. So even if you fall in it, quickly resolve it, so that whatever is coming will not be hurt. Because some of the things, it will need prayer to get them. So when certain prophecies come, you must align to the prophecy through prayer continuously. Am I lying? You have to be doing that. The devil will shift you from that place. Last one, consecration. So the third thing about desecration is what? Consecration. So the desecration happens when there's what? Shift from alignment through sexual sin, breakdown of relationship towards sexual sin, and then consecration. Now, our first reading in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 20, it's a very powerful scripture that we teach on what? Consecration. The anointing flow through yielded vessels and not divided vessels. The whole thing about consecration is to have a yielded vessel, not a divided vessel. Do you know a divided vessel? A divided vessel is a vessel where God has access to some part of your life. But some parts, so God, you have access to my academic life, but my relationship life, you don't have a place here. One of the things that can create that divided vessel is sexual sin. The moment God cannot have the whole, he's not even interested in the part. It is all or nothing. I don't know if you know that. So it is either you give God all or nothing. So he said, in the great house, people are in the church, are not only vessels of gold, silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honor and some for what? Dishonor. Move on. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, consecration, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every what? Good work. Remember Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Our destination, our destiny, discovery in Christ is to us fulfill what? Good works. The devil will stop you from being a vessel for good works when he's able to divide the vessel. And one of the very simple ways to divide the vessel is sexual sin. So that your an aspect of your life, so your hearing is owned by a demon. Your sight is also owned by another. Your vessels are divided. God, you are invited into my academic life, my financial life, but as for my sexual life, you're out. Now, whenever you want, how sex creates the division is this. Sex outside marriage creates inner division. It's an inner division through conscience versus desire. You see, your conscience and your desire must always sync up for God to use you. If our conscience does not judge us, God does not judge us too. Are you following? Now, when your conscience is judging you, it takes you away. Conscience is consciousness of God. It takes you away from God. So it's when your conscience is affected, your desire will be affected. So even though you are desiring God, you are desiring God to use you, your conscience is not allowing you because of what you have done. So you come to church, you see that, or you are there, you saw somebody called, you saw that the person needs prayer, and you desire to pray for the person, then your conscience will remind you, you just woke up yesterday from sleepover. That's a divided vessel. It's not the one, oh, please, it's not the one. You see the whole thing? Then your conscience will mind, you just woke up, you just came from sleepover. You say, ish. Even though I want to pray for you, call it, and I will help you. And I will help you. Calling versus compromise. When sexual sin enters, your consecration will be divided between calling and what? Compromise. What does that mean? The calling is what God has ordained you to do. Compromise is the things you do outside God's instruction to get it done. So if God has called you as, let me say, a prophet, you can compromise that anointing through sexual sin to the point that you don't pray to even prophesy again, even though you're answering to the calling. Are you with me? You can even go as far as taking certain things to pass under your eyes so you can see more 24/7. Sexual sin can push you to that place. Calling versus compromise. So you are told me whether you should compromise to get it done or you should stick to what? The last one. You are always torn between the spirit and the flesh. Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians 5:16, what did the Bible say? Walk in the spirit, that you do not gratify the desires of what? The flesh. For the spirit is an enmity to what? The flesh. And not vice versa. What sexual sin does is that he uses your flesh as an enmity against the spirit and to fight your consecration. So anytime somebody will become so self-centered, like so much aware of the flesh, one of the things that make it easy is sexual sin. Sexual sin can open you to all forms of things. You know that somebody slept with one person and led to drinking, drugs, all kinds of stuff. Do you know those things happen? One sexual encounter can kill all your spiritual investment for 20 years. You will be surprised that you were the one who used to pray. When they also, oh, no, say amen. Yeah. Sexual sin. So you always see that the spirit is always at contention versus your flesh. Consecration, you always see that your calling is at contention with your compromise. So you are always compromising on your calling. You see that your conscience is always at contention with your desire. That is what the consecration aspect. So when this happens, it means that you are divided. Because your conscience and your desire must what? The calling must overrule what? The compromise. And the spirit must overrule what? The flesh. And that is why the consecration is what? In total. But if the devil is able to get even a little of compromise, a little of what? The flesh, a little of what? The conscience at, then he has succeeded in division. The spirit will not follow. So even though you are anointed, that anointing can never come out to bless people. And you see that your destiny, ordination will be hanging there. You'll be doing other stuff. Your destiny, ordination will be hanging there. It's like, yes, you have ordered the boat. The car has arrived. You can be driving the car, but you have not been able to what? Start the trip. So you see many people in the church, they are doing a lot of things in church. But the day they die, you find out that they are part of the tragedy of unfinished business. Today, it's one thing I want to ask you. And it's one thing that I want us to ask ourselves. Have we started that trip? That our destiny ordination has already come. It is preordained. The Bible says when we are born again, we have discovered that destiny. The only question here is that, have we started that trip, or we have allowed the devil to make us go offline? Are we running an offline trip in the ministry so that God will not know that you have started the trip? Because if you start that destiny trip, the spirit of God will be following you. I want us to lift up our voice and say, oh God, if along the line I've turned off the app, I've canceled the trip to go offline. There are some who do that then. They say, okay, so that they'll know that let's go for about 2 minutes, then I'll cancel the trip. So that the amount, what? Have you ever experienced those kind of boat drivers before? So if the trip is 250 Ghana cedis, you drive for 3 minutes and then cancel it to come 20 Ghana cedis. So that 20 Ghana cedis you share with the app, then the rest will be offline. Are you also involved with that? Who have started in the flesh, in the spirit, but now want to continue in the flesh? Because of sexual sin, the devil will rob you. He will rob you of your destination. Can we lift up our voice? We don't want to go back the same. This very morning, Lord, touch us. Once I come, oh Jesus, me pese me call, ma prela mosaya, senya mi baye. Fa once I come, oh Jesus, I surrender all to you. Ah, lift up your voice. Everything I give to you. We want to surrender the entire trip. There's no offline anymore. We hold in nothing. Oh, we hold in nothing. I surrender. I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you. Oh, it holding nothing. That's our prayer this morning. Lift up your voice. We holding nothing. Oh, I surrender now to you. Everything I give to you. Oh, it's holy. Oh, it's holy. Oh, I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away. So sure. I give myself away. Lord, no more off trip on the journey. Oh Lord, I give myself away. So you. Oh, I give myself away. Oh, lift up your voice and begin to pray. We are not going to surrender just part. Everything to him. God, any form of sexual sin we have been caught in, we come before the throne. When we give ourselves, Lord, no more off trip. We are not turning off the app anymore. We are starting the ride today and we'll keep it until the day you call us.
We are not going to yield to anything anymore. Ravela makona la masaya. Oh, rabrasata babasaya. Oh, I give myself away. Shanda braka babasaya ba. Oh, manda brosele gada basaya. Mendolo bobo shebra da bahaya. Want to pray this prayer, that Lord, come and make our hearts your home. If our actions and attitude has driven you away, we come to you, that Lord, oh, we will not lose the anointing anymore. We have come back to you, Lord, that may you make our hearts your home. Amando shebra sala bahaya. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Spirit of God. Father to child, from spirit to spirit, lightened by your word, with the breath of life, that's how I come alive. Father to child, from spirit to spirit, enlightened by your word. Oh, with your breath of life, that's how I come alive, that's how I change my world. Your name. Just bring your name upon me. Oh, your name is your name, Lord.
Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Just bring your name upon me.
Just bring your name.
Gladly stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.